The views and opinions of today's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of the TJRS Radio Network. Thank you for being a loyal listener and enjoy the show.
Online radio at its best. You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise.
Good morning, and welcome to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, the show where we discuss politics, social issues affecting people of color, and every now and then a little comedy as well. Now here's your host, J. Ryle.
Good morning, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. Today is May 28th, 2023, and here are the topics that will be discussed on this week's edition of The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis just made it official, launching his bid for the Republican nomination. But his announcement on Twitter was met with a lot of technical issues.
A 31-year-old woman who admits to having sex with a 13-year-old boy and then becoming pregnant with his child won't face any jail time under a plea deal with prosecutors.
We turn out of this story. Tonight, three Wilmington, North Carolina police officers have been fired after a routine audit of a patrol car camera uncovered what authorities describe as extremely racist comments toward African Americans.
Online radio at its best.
Dear Heavenly Father, as the new day dawns and the sun rises, I come before you with an open heart and mind. I give you thanks for this day and for the gift of life. I ask for your guidance and wisdom as I face the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. I pray for your strength to overcome obstacles and for your love to be present in all my thoughts and actions. Please, Father, bless my family and friends and bring peace and joy to their hearts. I trust in your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your endless love, care, and blessings. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. To you, Father, I give all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Is our calling number. 347-8501272 is the calling number. Oh my God, the no-hitter is gone already. Welcome in to the show. It's The Serious Side on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'm J. Ryle. Thank you for being a part of what we do. And of course, I never share this stage by myself. The man who gets the first and last word here on The Serious Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S, is in the house as well. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa. Good morning, Real Delia. Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, Momo B. Good morning, Marianne Music. Good morning, Rich Sister. And good morning, my brother Hawk. And good morning, my brother Jerome.
That's right. The number is 347-850-1272. And of course, if you listen to the show, you know at the beginning of the show, we always kind of rap and clap. And, you know, obviously, we're going to start the show off with a tribute to the queen of rock and roll, Miss L.A.S. Tina Turner passed away this week at the age of 83 years young. Your thoughts on the queen of rock and roll?
My God, man. Somebody to go through what this young lady went through and to reinvent herself, man, and to, you know, live through that kind of abuse. And, you know, man, she's a hell of a woman. She's a hell of a woman. Anna Mae Bullock, God rest you, God bless you, and God rest your soul, because you deserve all you've gotten and all the accolades that you've gotten, because you were definitely one heck of an entertainer.
You know, the thing is that I didn't realize her story until later on, obviously, but I was overseas when that Private Dancer album hit, when it was dropped. And I was a DJ at the time. And when I tell you that she was like the queen, those Europeans loved her. And so, yeah, it was just one of those hits that came out. But once again, didn't realize her story until we saw that epic bio pic of What Love's Got to Do With It, Angela Bassett, who didn't look anything like her, but she played the role and embodied the spirit. But I tell you what, Larry Fishburne, man, I mean, it wasn't funny what happened, but that girl played that role, man. And when they got to that fight in that limo, boy, I was rolling when they walked in that restaurant. Oh, when they walked in that hotel, oh, my God. She said, I've had enough of you. And,
that young lady had some of the most beautiful legs I've ever seen in my life, man. She was, oh, my God.
She was definitely known for legs. The queen of rock and roll, dead at the age of 83. Tina Turner, rest in peace. And they said in her final years, you know, she just wasn't doing well. Looks like they were saying that she had kidney failure. She had a dialysis machine in her place in Switzerland. And you know, but now, hey, no more pain. You can rest easy, my queen. Once again, dead at the age of 83, Tina Turner. Just we lost a legend. We're losing a lot of legends lately, but, you know, hey, man, we walk this earth for a certain period of time, and then we're called home. You know what they say, you're supposed to cry at birth and celebrate at death. So, prayers goes out to the family as well and to all her fans all over the world. All right, it looks like we have an agreement in place, in principle, for the debt ceiling. Once again, this is the Republicans. You know, this is what people don't understand. That they're trying to come back and say that, oh, you know, we have to control spending. You know, really what the debt ceiling is paying for is the freaking mass deficit that Trump ran up.
Yes.
But, two out of the last three presidents had reduced the deficit to a certain degree. The only one who didn't was your guy and mine, Mr. Orange himself, Donald Trump. And so, once again, no one knew anything about the debt ceiling because it was just something that happened automatically. But it first came to light, what, back in 2011, because President Obama was in office, and he was trying to find a way to disrupt his presidency. So let's put this out here. So now, once again, this is a fight now, which shouldn't be a fight.
No.
Pay debt, pay your credit card bills.
They're not trying to hurt the wealthy people. They're trying to hurt the very poor people. This should tell the poor people what's going on.
They're trying to hurt the president. You know? That's what they're doing. They're not. What they're trying to do is create chaos. And so the average American who's not following this stuff closely can sit back and say, oh, my God, you know, see what happens when you get a Democrat in office. They know what the hell they're doing. It's ridiculous what's happening here, to be perfectly honest with you. It is causing disruption. And so, like I said, the average fan sees this and says, oh, my God, oh, we're on the brink. They've done this over 100-plus times with no issues. All of a sudden, it's an issue in 2011, and now it's an issue again in 2023 because we have Democrats in the White House.
That's it. That's what they're going to continue to do. And if when Trump did the little town hall meeting on CNN, it said, you said that you would never hold the debt ceiling as hostage. You said, yeah, that's because I was. He said, why are you changing my life? Because, and that's it now. Really?
Oh, there you go. At least he's honest. He's honest. Well,
that tells you
that tells him about the
country. He don't care nothing about the country. You know, all he cares about is his damn self.
Well, that's not a newsflash. That's not a newsflash. Well, for people to think that it is ridiculous. It's not a newsflash. It is not. I mean, it is what it is. It looks like our queen has graced us with her presence. She's on the water somewhere, you know, once again, globetrotting all over the world. Let's say good morning to our big sis, Miss Vanessa Mae Belly from the Macanelli. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you?
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day to everybody. Thank you to the vets and everybody that have helped us around the world. And other than that, I am at my favorite place. Where my party was, San Luis Paz, looking at the beautiful sunset that I posted. So, good morning to everybody. Hey, Les.
Good morning, Nessa.
Hey. Y'all know
I tell you, we live vicariously through this woman. She is all over the place, looking over the beautiful water, the beautiful sunset, you know, just making me all jealous and things. I'm really going to go play my lottery numbers now so I can get in that situation doing the same damn thing you're doing.
No, I'm really going to make you jealous. So everybody who's listening on the air, I said that I was inviting them all to Las Vegas. So I had to give some time up. So I ended up renting a penthouse, just so y'all know, because y'all were coming.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. We missed some of that because your phone's going in and out, but I heard penthouse and I heard something
else. Here we
go.
I said I rented a penthouse in Las Vegas is what I said. So it would have been
okay,
nothing
I thought that's what you said.
So if y'all change y'all mind, it is no space. Next thing is, soon as we got to the campsite yesterday, these white boys walked up to me. Can y'all hear? Oh, let me get out of here. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can.
These white boys walked up to me and said, where are you from? And I said, Houston. I said, where y'all from? And they said, Fort Worth. And they said, you know, let me just start by saying to you that I am so sorry what is happening with you guys in Houston. And so I plunged the place to it. And I said, what do you mean what's happening? You know, what the governor and everybody's doing in Harris County. I said, oh, our governor? Because you also live in Texas? He said, yeah, you're right. He is an asshole. But he's not doing to us what he's doing to y'all in Harris County with the voting. I said, you know what? I said, you know what? I'm 60 years old. I am not going to worry about who's going to get the vote, who they're moving the polls, because if these young kids can sit here and do this and let them get away with it because they're not voting, then that's going to be their asses. And so he said, you know what? That's why they're doing it, because they're looking at the numbers and they can see that the people under a certain age aren't voting, and that's why they're getting away with it. And you know what? That white boy was right.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah.
A commentary from the one and only Queen herself. Now, let me ask you. I wanted to get your thoughts on the passing.
You know I'm out here with Trumpsters.
Well, I know you are. That's when, you know, when you hang out with money, that's what you get, you know. That's just the way it is. So give me your thoughts on the passing of Tina Turner.
You know, Tina Turner lived a good life, and she was smart by leaving the – she lived a good life. She was an excellent star. People have portrayed her.
Yeah.
They will go down in history with children portraying Tina Turner with that crazy looking wig that she used to wear. But people in Switzerland, when you go there and you ask, does Tina Turner live here? And they're like, yes, she does. She lives in blah, 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 blah. And we see her out and she's really nice. So she moved to Switzerland and she could move around freely. And then the next thing was she moved to Switzerland so she wouldn't have to pay taxes for Switzerland and the United States. So that's one of the other reasons that she moved. So I love her. God let the queen rest, and she'll be missed, but her music will go on forever.
That's true.
And did y'all know that husband that's 20 years younger than her gave her a kidney?
Yeah. Matter of fact, we're doing in convenient time in 4 minutes or less. Something that you need to know. We're gonna feature her remembering Tina Turner. So stay tuned for that. But yes. Absolutely, that's going to be a part of that that segment. So, yeah, well, thank you so much for that, and we appreciate it. All right, Ms. Elias, listen.
Jackie's trying to get in, Les.
Huh?
Jackie is trying to get in. She just sent a message.
Oh, well, thank you, Vanessa, for disrupting network flow. So, let's see. Is Jackie here?
Oh, let me shut up.
You ain't got to shut up. So, Mr. Elias, is Jackie here? Okay, Mr. Elias is not here.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello.
Oh, there she is. Good morning, rich sister. How are you?
Doing great. How is everyone doing?
We're doing great. Wow. Haven't heard your voice in a long time. Yeah, I mean, my goodness. Well, hello, and I'm not really sure what to say. Well, first of all, good to hear the news that your mother's doing well. That's great. So what's going on, Jackie? How are you doing? Pleasant surprise this morning. How are you?
Yes, I am doing well. I wanted to get in since you were talking about Tina Turner.
Yes.
Just to reiterate again, no joke, Wednesday morning, like the day before, I put her greatest hits CD onto my phone. And Wednesday morning, on my way to work, I'm listening to it. I mean, knowing then, far as I knew, she was still in the land of the living, far as I knew. And then getting off footwork, I see your text. That was the first time hearing everything about it. So, you know, that was like eerie to me, right? When I saw that, I was like, what?
Yeah.
But of course,
that was
eerie
crazy
too, because I was listening to her music. I mean, going into work, knowing that, as far as I knew, she was still alive. I'm listening to her music. Then I'm getting off work. I'm seeing your text. I was like, wow. But, I mean, what else can you say? She's definitely going to be greatly missed. But, of course, to echo Vanessa's thoughts, her music will always be here. And you just got to just commend her from just everything that she's been through with the domestic violence and getting out of that and, you know, surviving that and just going on to be a great success. You know, definitely one of the greatest voices of our lifetime, and she will be greatly missed.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. That's a good thing. 347-850-1272. All right, we're going to step out. One thing, though, Jackie, you kind of remind me of this person I know. She would go to sleep, and if she had a dream about somebody dying, they actually died. And so it was a scary situation. And I remember one morning she woke up and said, oh, my God, I had a dream about you. And I started crying. I'm like, oh, my damn, please. Don't, come on. She said, no, you didn't die. I said, whew. So, Jackie, I say that to say this. Please do not listen to any old episodes of the J. Ryle Show because it seems to me that you have the black rose touch. So don't listen to any old episodes.
I don't talk that up to no kind of EFP psychic, nothing. I don't know.
Okay.
Look, I didn't get no heads up, nothing.
Okay,
about that.
I'm just saying. Don't listen
to
any old episodes.
To your text that I, Jackie ain't got no ESP psychic, nothing.
Okay, I understand. I do understand that. But please don't, but just for me, just for the next month or so, don't listen to any old episodes of the J. Ryle Show, okay? All right, we're going to step out. It's time for an NPR News update. 347-850-1272. It's a beautiful Sunday in my neck of the woods. I hope you are experiencing the same. We'll be right back. It's the Serious Side, 347-850-1272 on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. After weeks of negotiations and just days before a potential government default, President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy have reached an agreement in principle to raise the nation's debt limit. NPR's Franco Ordonez reports the deal would restrict government spending for 2 years.
If approved by the House and Senate, the deal would avert a devastating default that government officials have been warning about for weeks. President Biden said the agreement is an important step forward that reduces spending while protecting critical programs and democratic priorities. He called it a compromise and that not everyone gets what they want. The deal holds non-defense spending at roughly the same levels for the next 2 years. It does not make changes to Medicaid, but it's unclear whether Republicans sought work restrictions for social benefit programs were added. The president said the negotiating teams will finalize a legislative text before it's sent to the House and Senate. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
The debt ceiling agreement represents what many consider a test for Speaker McCarthy, who now must deliver the votes to pass it into law to avert a default. He says the House will vote on Wednesday. Polls are open across Turkey in a presidential runoff election that could shape the country's direction for years to come. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports that the 20-year incumbent president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is seeking another 5 years in power.
Erdogan rose to power in the wake of a botched response to a deadly earthquake and economic woes. 2 decades later, he's faced sharp criticism for his government's slow response to an even deadlier earthquake and soaring inflation. Challenging Erdogan is Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, the 74-year-old head of Turkey's main secular party. He's promising to restore the independence of Turkish institutions such as the judiciary and rein in some of the powers of the presidency. Erdogan led Kılıçdaroğlu by a comfortable margin in the first round, and analysts say he has the inside track to another term in office. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Russia has launched another major air attack on the Ukrainian capital, Kyiv. Local officials say the drone attack overnight was the largest since the start of the war. And Ukraine's Air Force says it shot down 52 of 54 drones across the country. One person is reported dead after debris fell on a gas station. The BBC's James Reed has more.
This is the 14th time this month that Kyiv has come under attack. Russia has been using waves of Iranian-made drones, often combined with missiles, in an attempt to overwhelm the city's air defenses. Witnesses describe searchlights sweeping the sky and loud explosions, with drones coming down in flames after being hit. Many people took to bomb shelters, but others stood on their balconies, shouting slogans of defiance. This latest attack comes on the day the Ukrainian capital celebrates its foundation more than 1,500 years ago.
The BBC's James Reed reporting, and you're listening to NPR News.
A launch for president on Twitter.
I'm Ron DeSantis, and I'm running for president to lead our great American comeback.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis posted a video making it official and spoke on Twitter Spaces alongside controversial billionaire and CEO Elon Musk, who has said he'd support a conventional candidate. DeSantis later spoke to Fox News.
We know the country's on the wrong track. What I will do is help restore normalcy to our communities, integrity to our institutions, and sanity to our society.
DeSantis' announcement kicks into motion a long-expected campaign, now facing significant challenges, as the GOP field expands and rivals call him out as an imitation of Trump.
The way he speaks, the way his hand gestures are, the fact that he's moved his policies, whether it's Ukraine and Russia, to entitlement reform, he's done a total 180, all of it's copying Trump.
A Trump...
347-850-1272. That's it. That's right. Oh, Tricky Ron is in. Ron DeSantis over the weekend, well, this past week, I should say, announced that he was running for president on Twitter, which didn't go as planned. This is crazy, man. It's hard not to laugh at some of this stuff because this guy really and truly believes he has a shot at winning the presidency. His policies that he's put in place in Florida, that's not going to work in a national campaign. But, Mr. Elias, let me go to you since you're the man that gets the first and last word. Ron DeSantis, he's in. What say you about the Florida governor running for president of the United States? What a joke.
Look, man, I put nothing past anyone these days, but this man here is a whack job. He's a nutcase. Anytime you try to erase somebody's history, he's as racist as they come. Don't get me wrong, you know, there's racist on both sides, but this dude is trying to erase our history.
What do you mean racist on both sides? What does that mean?
Well, it's racist. That's racist Democrats, too. Let's call it what it is.
Racist as far as what?
And a lot of them are racist, man. Come on. Yeah, you got to look at some of the stuff they do. Okay, you mean to tell me cinema's not racist? You mean to tell me Manchin is not racist? Come on, man.
Well, okay. Well, all right. I hear where you're going with. I don't know if I agree with that, but go ahead.
Okay, but look, man, they won't pass the voting rights bill. Something that would help African Americans. They won't pass.
Let's call it what it is. Well, okay. Well, I mean, listen, I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm not arguing with you about it, Mr. Elias. I just think that we're just gonna agree to disagree. I don't know if they're racist or not, but you're right. I mean, they lean more conservative than we would like, but they vote with the Democrats a lot as well. But go ahead, man. I don't want to, you know, get you off your point. Go ahead.
This guy's a racist to his heart. Now, and what they're trying to do right now in Florida is they're trying to pit black African Americans against Asian Americans.
What do you mean by that?
What they're doing is, in school, they're saying we can't teach African American studies, but we can teach Asian American studies. We can teach Mexican American studies. Yes, they're pitting each other against them.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yes, they're pitting each other. They're saying it's okay for them to teach this, but not this. So let's call it what it is. This is what this guy's doing, and what they want to do is say, look, it's okay for us to teach this, but not this. Come on, you know. And if I was a kid in Florida, I would complain about everything because all you gotta do is cry. I don't like this because it disturbs me. Math disturbs me. I don't like the way they teach math. I think it's a racist way they teach math. I think it's racist the way they teach gym. Come on, really? This is what they're doing. If one person complains about it, they get rid of it. And I think it's
parents though that's doing the complaining. I'm not sure if it's the students, but it's the parents. And you're right.
The students come there and complain about it, then they'll get rid of it.
Well, yes. That's a criteria. They're saying that if a student comes in and complains, but I think I saw something the other day saying that these are parents that are going in and saying that, hey, my kid was exposed to this, and maybe the student went home and complained to the parent, but I mean, I guess I get your overall point. The fact that I didn't know this thing about, you know, Asian and Mexican and all that, I didn't know anything about that. That's news to me.
They're teaching all of that stuff in Florida schools. All of it's being taught. The only one that's been alleviated is African American studies. That's what's been alleviated. And then they're taking the fact that the book that showed Rosa Parks that what actually happened to her, and they're saying, oh, she just refused to get up out of her seat was the reason she was arrested. This is what they're limiting it to. They're not telling the true history of the country. So, you know, let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. This guy's a nut. He's a nut job. And anyone talk about woke? Hell, if you cancel culture, hell, you cancel everything there is. So you're the biggest cancel culture person there is. Now Disney's pulling out of Florida. They're pulling $1 billion business, a complex that they were building in Florida because of this crime.
A lot of people said that Disney was having problems getting that up anyway, but, you know, listen, I get what's going on. Vanessa, you hang out with Trumpsters, and now, we call people that support Trump Trumpsters and the mega Republicans. What do we call the DeSantos people?
Insane.
He said insane. So you hang out with the DeSantos. There you go, the DeSantos. You hang out with the DeSantos. So tell me, so what do they think about this man announcing that he's running for president? And then give me your thoughts.
Okay, well, y'all, I don't. This man is so stupid
that he took.
You talking to me?
Yeah, you do. You hang out with him. Stop.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they're DeSantos people. I only see one person that has a Republican sign, a Donald Trump sign out here. I am sitting in the middle of all of the Republicans, but, you know, and we bring it up, you know, but I don't have all these conversations with them, and none of my close friends set of Republicans are here. They're on either a cruise ship or they're on their travel trailer somewhere else. So I don't know what they think of DeSantis. I haven't had that conversation with them yet. So I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know, but I think he's insane. The girl who read the poem at the inauguration wrote a book.
Amanda Garvin, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just removed a book because one person said it was
one
offensive.
Yeah. One parent complained. Mm-hmm.
What? So, you know, mm-hmm. okay. It's no stupid. He's, but, Jay.
Yes.
Their situation there in Florida is not any worse, really, than the stupid people that we got here in Texas. Like, they're fixing to pass a law, Jay. They're passing a law that you don't have to get your vehicles inspected. Do you know how much pollution we're going to have here? Do you know how bad it would be to buy a used car here in Texas? I wouldn't, because they don't have to be inspected. So you know what? Just like DeSantis is a nut, our governor is a nut. So, you know, I just think that the country is in a bad place. I think Florida is in a really bad place because he's just as ignorant as the person we have here in Texas. So I tell Bobby, I said, I wish it was somewhere I could move to and not have to deal with any of this, just sell everything.
Canada.
You know what he said? Well, they got their shit too. So anyway, that's 50 cents.
Oh, I thank you for the,
but anyway,
thank you for the vulgar language. Yes.
Jay, shut up before I put on a swimsuit and go out there in the sun with the white people and be on the water. But anyway,
go ahead.
Well,
I put on a swimsuit.
Bobby said there is nowhere, Vanessa, that you can actually move to because it's not just the governors. It's who they're putting in office as president of the United States that is ignorant. So, he's right.
I heard Belize. A lot of Americans are going to Belize, and they're saying, hey, they're living the life down there. A friend of mine went down there on a vacation and bought a house. So Belize.
Yeah,
Belize
is okay. It's rocky, dirty, dusty. I mean, I've been in and out of Belize a lot on cruise ships, and I always like to travel and see how people live when I go on cruises. And so that's what my tour usually is. And it, I mean, yeah, you can live comfortable down there. You can live comfortable there, Mexico, anywhere of these places, anywhere but the United States is comfortable. And that's the truth. That's the truth.
A lot of people
are going to Costa Rica, Jay. Mm-hmm. A lot of the airline people are moving to Costa Rica.
Interesting. Well, now let me say this. When we talk about, listen, America, despite its faults, is still the greatest country in the world. I mean, I wouldn't live anywhere else. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. So these are battles that we just have to fight. And at the end of the day, like you said earlier, Vanessa, the younger people are going to have to step up and do what they need to do. Now, I don't know who's making all that noise, but please.
That's okay.
So at the end of the day, when we look at DeSantis, let me ask this question, and this is a weird question to ask. And I wish Jerome was here for this, but that's okay.
He'll be here in a minute.
Here's the question.
Say hopefully. See, Lance, I'm not good enough. Okay, go ahead.
See, once again, there you go. It just have nothing to do with that. Thank you very much. because these types of questions, I'm interested in a political strategist, you know, their opinion. Here's my question to you two. And I don't, you know, ladies first, Vanessa, I guess you can answer this question first. Should we be rooting? It's almost like, and Mr. Elias can relate to this, it's like when you root for a team that's not your team, but if that team wins, it helps your team get into the playoffs. Should we be rooting for Donald Trump to win the Republican primary? Because people like Nikki Haley, folks like, you know, Tim Scott, I don't think he has a snowball's chance in hell. And that kickoff he did was ridiculous, but, you know, hey, I digress. But Ron DeSantis, I remember watching him when the national media was down in Florida doing that hurricane or flood or whatever happened down there. And he sounded like he had some sense. He met the president on the tarmac. He said some wonderful things about the president. My question is, should we be rooting for Trump to win the GOP? So we won't have the slight possibility, because we already know, well, most of the polls say that Biden would beat Trump in a rematch. Plus, with everything that's going on with Trump, he is a wounded candidate. But Ron DeSantis, a lot of people don't know who he is. Only folks like us who follow this stuff knows this guy. So should we be rooting for Trump? Vanessa, that's my question to you, to win the GOP primary.
Say it one more time.
Should we be rooting for Trump to win the GOP primary?
Why would we want him? Because he can only do one term. That's the only reason I would be. It's because he can only do one term. He can't go back and do 8 years. I mean, so.
Yeah, but you kind of missed the lead up to it. So that's okay. So you're saying no. Ms. Elias, I'm assuming you were here. That's okay. I'm assuming you were here during my whole little spiel. Should we, based on what I said, should we be rooting for Trump to win the GOP primary? Wow. Wow.
Wow. Woo! Praise the Lord.
Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Yeah, I think we should be rooting for him. But look, man, it also scares, because that guy got 7 million less votes than Biden did last time. So what a shame 7 million people don't come out and vote because they don't think it's that important this time. That's the only thing that scares me about the whole thing.
Okay, so, repeat that again, because I'm lost. Say that again, and I'm trying to follow your. Biden won by your thought process.
Biden won by 7 million votes, right? That means Trump lost by 7 million. What if those 7 million people don't think that it's important enough for us to go out there and vote?
Who's he talking? Oh, good morning. Good morning. Yeah.
So,
oh, God.
But,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to help you out. This is our show. This is it. Vanessa's just, hey, how y'all doing? Hey, listen, I'm on the radio, but that's okay. How you doing this morning? Ooh, what a pretty dog. Oh, hey, Bobby, put some ice in the chest.
Jay.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow. This is a professional radio show around here.
If I could just get a cup of coffee, I'm just going to sit down here so I can do it. But I had to get – y'all, I love y'all. I love y'all, love y'all, love y'all. Would nobody else be out here on a beautiful day in Texas on the water? I love y'all. So that's the only reason I'm doing this show right now.
You can't make this stuff up. All right, Mr. Elias, go ahead.
Well, like I said, I think that, man, you can't underestimate Trump, the power of Trump either. So, I mean, people need to get out and vote.
Hold on, let me ask you something, because I don't want to lose my train of thought. Do you honestly think the fact that this guy has been found liable for sexually assaulting an individual, right? Now, we all know that come this summer, the prosecutor in Georgia is saying, hey, guys, get ready. We need your calendars cleared for, I think, the month of August. So that means that we know charges are coming down. Now it sounds like the investigation for the papers in Mar-a-Lago, it sounds like that guy is wrapping up his case, and it's about time for him to step up. So do you honestly think, with all this going on, that he has a snowball's chance in hell if he make it through the GOP primary? Do you honestly think he has a chance to win?
People are still going to all that baggage.
Of course.
They're not going to. I mean, there's people. There's never underestimate a cult, man. Never underestimate a cult.
But a cult is... Dude, there's not 77 million cult members, Mr. Elias. I think a lot of people voted for him because of – go ahead.
Okay. Like I said, man, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised,
I would
not be surprised.
I'd be shocked.
Okay. Okay, like I said, man, this is and this A man, you know, DeSantis, you know, he might have a better chance of losing than Trump. His phone number.
I don't think so.
And if you look at what they're saying about him, you can't put him in front of crowds. He's not appealing at all. He's not appealing at all. So if you get him in front of crowds and show his weakness, I think if he goes into the debate against Trump, Trump is going to eat his lunch, man. I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem with that analogy. Okay. This is the reason why I'm nervous of Mike Pence. Because Mike Pence, if you're not following this stuff every day, let's say that you are a true conservative, you're not following this stuff on a day-to-day basis, you see Mike Pence, he's well-spoken, he's that typical, if you look up, if you're casting a politician in a Hollywood movie, he would meet that criteria. He looks like a well-established politician. And he makes me nervous because he can speak fluently. He's coherent. You know, listen, I love President Biden, but sometimes, dude, he'll be standing up there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, come on, Prez. But listen, he's almost 80. Well, I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, I like the guy. I think the guy is doing an outstanding job. He's done some things that even our beloved President Obama hasn't done in his first 4 years in office, didn't do. So now all of a sudden you have this older gentleman standing next to a young guy who speaks fluently. A guy who's very articulate, a guy who sounds like, once again, I'm just based this on what I saw for his response during that catastrophe they had, that weather-related catastrophe they had in Florida. He sounded like somebody who had some sense. So if you're not following it closely.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. I'm telling you. And once the media gets a hold of this guy, man, he doesn't even smile. They said when he went to Iowa, they ate nothing lunch, man. And that was the conservative party.
Wait a minute. But then, you're contradicting yourself then. Because if you're saying he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell, then who cares who comes out the GOP? Right? I mean, who cares?
What I'd rather have. I think Trump is more flawed than DeSantis, but I think both of them are very flawed candidates, to be honest. Mm. I do.
Okay. Well, we'll find out here real soon. Because it's just beginning. Matter of fact, I think for the first time, Ron DeSantis took some shots at Trump. But he better stay out of that arena, because even though I can't stand Trump, you can't when it's playing the dozens. You know, all of us had a friend that you could tell jokes to, but they don't get into the dozens with them because they're going to have you crying because they don't know how to play the dozens. So stay away from that because you can't win when you're trying to go up against Trump
at
the bottom of the world.
Trump called sanctimonious. I was like, wow, he already got a name.
He already got a name for him. And Trump don't give a damn. That's just the way he rolls. All right. At the top of the show, we talked about the queen of rock and roll. She passed away, Miss Tina Turner, at the age of 83. In this week's edition of In 4 Minutes or Less, something that you need to know, we're going to play tribute to this lady, courtesy of E.T. It's Covina time. In 4 minutes or less, something that you need to know. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to the TJRS Radio Network, 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this.
Death is not a problem for me. I don't really mind leaving.
That's Tina Turner. In 2018, RA admitting at the time she was at peace. But tributes continue to pour in as those who knew her best are remembering the legend.
She was
really sick and not wanting people to know about it. But, you know, she had her dialysis machine in her house, and that's how she was doing it.
Tina's close friend Cher suggested her death was related to kidney disease. And just 2 months ago, the 83-year-old made this grim post saying, "My kidneys are victims of my not realizing that my high blood pressure should have been treated with conventional medicine. I have put myself in great danger." After a long illness, Tina passed away peacefully at her $76 million Swiss home purchased less than 2 years ago. But Tina looked to be in good health in 2021 for what would be her last public appearance during this taped Rock and Roll Hall of Fame acceptance speech.
Yeah, this is mine. Only I don't care if you know.
Back in 2017, Tina's husband, Irvin Bach, donated one of his own kidneys to save her life.
He came to me and said, I can give you one of my kidneys. I said, oh, Irvin, you're young. I'm already older. It's okay.
Her husband, Irvin Bach, is the most extraordinary person. He literally willed her to live.
This morning, Oprah shared her memories alongside Gail King while on vacation in Italy.
She's been through one health crisis after another.
You guys know she had a stroke. She had cancer. And she kept coming back. She had back surgery just recently
in February.
Beyonce, who performed with Tina at the 2008 Grammys, said, quote, "My beloved queen, I'm so grateful for all the ways you have paved the way." Angela Bassett earned her first Oscar nomination in 1994 for her portrayal of Tina in What's Love Got to Do with It. She tells ET, quote, "Her final words to me, for me, were, 'You never mimic me. Instead, you reached deep into your soul, found your inner Tina, and showed her to the world.'"
It was the hardest role I ever had to play. I had to dig deep into my spiritual core to show up and be there 100% every day.
E.T. was on set of the critically acclaimed biopic, and this is the exact moment Tina first met Angela on set.
"I never wore that.
Oh, great.
When I met Angela, she looked nothing like me, but she was likable. I liked her immediately, and that was important to me.
In 1985, E.T. was behind the scenes leading up to Tina's electrifying Live Aid performance with Mick Jagger.
Looks like you have some pretty fun companionship up there on stage.
It seems like it, doesn't it? I made some good choices in the last few years.
Yeah, we've been friends for, like, I don't want to tell you how long.
Today, the Rolling Stones frontman posted this rare behind-the-scenes footage of them backstage together in 1969 and said, quote, "She helped me so much when I was young, and I will never forget her." Of course, Tina's legacy in music lives on, and it's no surprise that her songs have spiked in streaming and sales.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them. Beat them.
Smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today.
Oh, those boys are much too much. Those boys are much too much.
Online radio at its best.
Adam Serrano gave birth to a baby boy. She admitted to having sex with that 13-year-old. The victim's mother, who we're not going to identify in this story, tells us she is not happy with this deal offered to a woman she says ruined her son's life.
I feel like my son's robbed of his childhood. Now he's having to be a father. He's a victim, and he's going to have to live with that for the rest of his life.
This mother says watching her son struggle with the reality he now faces breaks her heart.
What has this been like for your son?
It's caused him a lot of depression. He's shut down a lot.
Now she questions why this woman won't face prison time.
I feel like if she was a man and he was a little girl, it would definitely be different. They would be seeking incarceration. And I feel like because she's a woman, they're not. They're having compassion for her because she was pregnant. But I don't think they take into play, again, she was pregnant by a child. you know, that child was created from a sexual abuse.
Under terms of the plea deal the suspect signed off on, she'll be required to register as a sex offender, and the judge could sentence her to 10 years to life of sex offender intensive supervised probation. But Serrano will avoid any jail time since the DA's office dropped the original charges to a lesser charge that does not come with mandatory jail time.
Welcome back in, 347-850-1272. It is 10 minutes before the top of the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the Philadelphia, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio. And especially, you heard the story. My goodness, what are y'all doing? Y'all heard, you hear the story. Woman gave birth to a 13-year-old baby and 90 days. You know, Jerome talks about this a lot during his show, and he always, well, he used to, not as much anymore, point out these types of stories where it's like it's a double standard here when it comes to this type of stuff. Like the young, like the lady said in the, like the mother of the child said, like the mother of the 13-year-old said, look, if this would have been a male, oh my goodness, I got to meet somebody. I got to meet him. All right, like they said, had it been a man doing this to a woman, little girl, Mr. Elliott, they'd have thrown him under the jail. Why is this? So why is this, man? Why is it a situation where a female gets lesser time? She commits the exact same act. This is a grown-ass woman sleeping with a 13-year-old boy, and she don't even get jail time.
Because we live in a misogynistic society, man. Look, even us, hell, I'm not going to lie. When I was 13, man, if one of my teachers that was fine wanted to sleep with me, hey, man, I would have. I'm sorry, I'm 13. I'm 13 years old, I'm a 13-year-old boy. Let's stop lying about it. You're 13 years old.
What are you talking about?
Hey, man, let's call it what it is. At 13, that's how men think. You mean to tell me if Aunt Bev off the New Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was one of your teachers and you 13 and she approached you, you wouldn't say nothing? You'd be like, no, please
what,
don't.
But what does that have? See, once again, please leave your
stereotype. We live in a misogynistic stereotype as well. Let's call it what it is, man. Let's call it what it is. You know, and that's how the thing, that's how it works, man. I'm sorry. That's the way it works. If we're going to be totally honest about it, we're going to lie to each other about it.
So that's the best example you can come up with?
Do I need to come
that
up with
when
it?
You were 13?
Answer the question. When I was 13,
answer what question?
Okay, when I was 13, I had a fine teacher. I'm like, man,
wow.
And she gave me a chance. Hey, I'm sorry. That's the way it works. I'm a 13-year-old boy. I'm 13.
What
years
does that have to do
point,
with what we're talking about?
At that point in time, that's all I was thinking about was sex. At 13 or 14 years old. That's what I was thinking about. And you
well, that hasn't changed because you're damn near 60 and you're the same way. Here's my question
and,
for you.
Okay, and what's the difference between you and me? None. Go ahead.
Here's my question for you, sir. You are – so the kids are going to be kids. We're not talking about the boy. We're talking about the woman who raped him. Oh, because the boy wanted some poontang at a young age is not rape.
I never said it was rape.
Well,
now,
where are you going with this?
What I'm saying is that if we live in a misogynistic world, and let's call it what it is.
Can I
call it what it is? By all means, Vanessa.
Absolutely, Vanessa. By all means. What say you?
If that was – oh, Jesse wants to comment, too. If that was a girl – excuse me. If that was a girl and it happened to her, that would be rape. So I don't understand either how she is getting away with any of this. When they're at 13 to 16, hormones are raging. They're curious.
she's the adult in the room. Was supposed to be the adult
right.
in the room. So she is
right.
the one who needs to be doing prison time for rape because she should have known not to sleep with a 13-year-old boy. So I don't get it. I don't get it. And now he the one that pays child support, but he got to pay child support whatever he get a job at 16, 18, or whatever it is because she decided she wanted to get pregnant. And that's exactly what that was. She wanted to get pregnant because at her age, she should have been on birth control. So, y'all, look at the big picture here. She trapped him, and she did it intentionally.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. So
we live in a hold on,
Why would she?
Go
okay.
ahead.
All right. Listen. I don't want to. Okay. Listen. I hear what you're saying. But could this be a byproduct of people that are just being messy? Why would she want to trap a 13-year-old unemployed child? I mean, what's the purpose behind that?
Because I just said it, Jay. She wanted a baby. What part of that didn't you catch that I said? Wanted a baby. There are women who just want a baby
him.
And don't need a husband. That is trapping him because he didn't ask. Jay, listen. It's trapping him because he's a child. He didn't know any better. And he didn't know that she would be pregnant. He just wanted some poontang at 13. Jay, she trapped him. She wanted a baby. She did it intentionally. Anybody her age, she should have been on birth control. She could have told him to put a rubber on. Jay, she trapped him. She wanted a baby.
Well, wait a minute.
She
should have not slept with him.
I know a lot of girls.
Damn, a rubber.
Jay, right. So why wasn't she on birth control if she was screwing? Huh? Answer me, Jay.
I don't know. I can't answer you because
so
I'm not.
So you are an
that's
adult.
Pathetic.
You're having sex with a child. You would know to at least be on birth control. So you're going to tell me that she shouldn't be in trouble? Jay.
It shouldn't matter who she was with. I mean, a boy, man. You know,
listen.
Jay, what do you think? Okay, maybe I missed something.
We live in a misogynistic world.
Wait a minute. Jay, what did I miss in this? You don't think she should be in trouble? Is that what I'm missing?
Oh, no. You said that she's trying to trap a 13-year-old boy.
Miss
Elliott said all
the
13-year-old boy. I don't even understand. Okay, fine. I mean, listen.
You don't understand
maybe
trap?
Me.
You don't understand
no, no,
trap
I don't understand why she
would want
to trap a 13-year-old boy. Well, what
Jay, listen to
you
me.
Can get
Jay, let me put this out there. Jay, let me put this out there.
Yes.
Some women want a baby. They don't care. And let me put it to you even more honest than that. My daughter can't have children. So if my daughter was to get pregnant, I wouldn't give a damn who the daddy was. I would just be glad that I got a grandchild. So I'm going now. So
you can stay away from the water.
Misogynistic, what did I say? Society.
You said it 15 times. We heard you the first time.
So people don't necessarily care if they have a baby, if they got a baby daddy. They don't. Why do you think all of these children are getting pregnant? Because their friends are getting pregnant and having babies. They don't care nothing about who the daddy is. They don't care nothing about that. Jay, come on now. Open your eyes. Jay, open your eyes.
Okay. Jackie, I think Jackie. Wanted to say.
What
about that Jackie
what's
say what she has to say? I'm not gonna forget my point. Let's let Jackie.
Got a house full of girls. I can't believe that.
Yeah, definitely no question. It's a double standard. It is rape to me. He's a minor. That is rape to me.
That is rape.
She should be thrown under the jail. It's like a man would. If it was there shouldn't be no double standards, not when it comes to underage stuff. Come on.
Thank you.
I never said
she shouldn't be in jail. All I'm saying is we live in a misogynistic world. And that's, I never said, I said at 13 years old,
I didn't say you did.
Same thing I was thinking. But what I was saying is that we live in a misogynistic world, and that's the reason she's not in jail. There it is.
Fair. I had a dollar for every time you said that during this segment. Listen, I agree
I said it was
with
right.
Jackie.
Right?
Well, okay, but it's like y'all. Okay, the 13-year-old, he was horny, you know, that's what happened. All she didn't use a condom. The fact of the matter is, she should be in jail. The whole discussion is, how the hell is she walking around free when men, if it had been a grown ass man screwing a 13-year-old girl,
she's a white woman. Because she's a white woman.
She's not white. She's not white. She's Hispanic.
She's not white. Is she black?
I just said she's Hispanic.
Okay. So she's not black. That's how she's walking around. She's not black, Jay. A black woman would have been thrown under the jailhouse. If this woman is still in jail who changed her address for her child to go to a better school, you going to tell me that a black woman wouldn't be in prison behind this? Oh, please. Oh,
well, I have no comment. I have no idea because, you know, she's Hispanic. You know, they treat them just like they treat us in some cases. I mean,
not
what's happening with the border.
Not all the time.
Well, okay,
not
you give me that. Listen, I'll give you that.
Was the boy Hispanic, too?
That I don't know. They're going to protect his identity.
Well,
but the mother, but they talked to the mom, and the mom looked Hispanic.
Okay,
Jay, if she got pregnant for a boy and she – yes, she should be charged with rape, and I keep saying that. If it was a girl doing it, they would have been charged with rape. But, Jay, if she really wasn't trying to get pregnant, she would have had an abortion, and none of this would have been out in the air, nothing. She didn't want an abortion. She wanted a baby.
I don't know where she was. That was an option. Well, you know, keep in mind, Vanessa, we don't live in that same world anymore.
Okay, when this lady was pregnant, that rule had not passed. And
I don't know. I mean, I need to find out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because there are states that you can fly to right now and go get an abortion.
But Vanessa, wait a minute. Now, see, that's we're starting to trend into a different. This is a great segue.
She trapped him.
Okay, this is a great segue for a new segment that we're introducing. It's not going to be on a weekly basis, but every now and then it's a new segment called To Be Continued, TBC. And that's when we have some things like this that we really need to talk about. I think we're going to actually push this into that because you brought up something, Vanessa, that, you know, that's the bigger argument. That's the reason why people are talking about abortions and things of that nature because, you know, there are people who do not have the money to fly to someplace. They don't have that money. That's why they're saying that women are going to die because poor women don't have the resources to get to these places. That's why the argument is as big as it is. So why don't we table that discussion? Because I definitely want to have a more detailed conversation about what you just said in our very new TBC To Be Continued, which is coming up, not the next segment, but the segment after that. 347-850-1272. It's time to step out, take a break. And, of course, with the passing of rock and roll legend Tina Turner, you can expect to hear nothing but Tina. Doing the two breaks this morning. 347-850-1272, 3 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back after this.
Online radio at its best.
Touch of your hand makes my thoughts react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while possess a track. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. If I tend to look dazed, I read it. someplace I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that is. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what love got to do? Got to do it. What love but a second-hand emotion? What love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?
NAACP is committed to equality for all people, especially the equality of foundational Black Americans. Every other child gets a chance at economic equality. Every other child gets a chance at living the best life they possibly can. Doesn't he deserve a chance too? Learn more at NAACP.org.
Online radio at its best.
An internal probe by the Wilmington Police Department reveals hate-filled conversations with three veteran officers. Officer Kevin Piner is heard telling Corporal Jesse Moore that the protests would soon lead to a civil war and that he is ready. He goes on to tell Moore that he was going to buy a new assault rifle and soon we are just going to go out and start slaughtering them expletive N-words. Piner says a civil war is needed to wipe them off the expletive map. That'll put them back about four or five generations. Later, during a phone call with Piner, Moore refers to a woman he arrested as the N-word and says she needed a bullet in her head right then. Donnie Williams is the department's new police chief. He fired the officers on his first day.
When you talk about killing people in generations of people, that is disturbing.
According to investigators, the officers blame their comments on the stress of today's climate in law enforcement. CBS News has reached out to the police union and the three officers for comment. So far, they haven't responded. Jeff?
Welcome back in. 347-850-1272. Now, I have to say this. This is a story from 2 years ago. Now, what I'm ashamed of is that we missed it. We didn't talk about this story. When I was doing research for the show, I ran across this story. And I said, oh, my God, I want to talk about it. So, yeah, 2 years later. But the bottom line is, I think it's a good time to talk about it because those comments were made during the height of what was going on with George Floyd, which, by the way, that third-year anniversary just passed of his death. You have police officers caught on camera saying that there's going to be a war. You heard the last cop say that they arrested a female and said she needed a bullet in her head right then and there. Put that in perspective to what is happening today and what continues to happen. So when we talk about some of these police officers, oh, they made a mistake and shot somebody, then you have these three racist cops. And let me just say this. I'm not going to sit here and say all police officers are the same. But Miss Elias, man, this is scary. Because in the comfort of their squad car, they didn't think anyone would ever hear this. They're having these types of conversations. I already bought my assault weapon, and I'm ready to annihilate all those effing N-words. These are cops. They carry guns. Let's see you.
Well, if January 6th showed you nothing, it showed you what military people are. A lot of military personnel are, and what police officers are. They're racist. They're racist as hell.
Well, it's not a lot of them. Don't say that.
Oh, okay. You're right. It wasn't a lot of police
officers.
It's not.
It's not when you say a lot of them.
Okay.
Say that, but you know, when you say a lot of them, then you give people the impression I'm in the military. I was in the military. I wasn't like that.
Man,
you do have some of those crazy people. You do have some of them. You're absolutely correct. Not a lot of them.
Okay, what's a lot to you? A lot to me is over 100.
Well, okay, fine. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
So, that shows us that. And then they, if you look at some of the other stuff that's going on, there's one guy that came in a police station and he left his tape recorder on. And he went back and get his tape recorder. They were talking about killing him mob style. Because he was bringing out stories about what they were doing to African Americans. This is nothing. This is what they do. And the police. If you look at the police, it was designed to hurt black folks. It's been that. They used to hunt us down. That's how they started with the police, man. So let's call it what it is. It's been a racist institution for the longest. They would hunt us down, and then they would hang us, and then. And they passed a law. The prison system was set up for black folks because they passed a law that says if you weren't working and you didn't have a job and you wasn't making a certain amount of money, that you would have to work so many weeks in their prison system until you got a job. This has been set up for the longest for us. This happened right after the Emancipation Proclamation happened. They set it up for us to be that way. So. It's not a surprise that these people are doing this stuff. It's been that way for years. There's been racist police officers for years. These people don't care. They're ready to annihilate us. And then they wonder why black folks are nervous when the police stop. I mean, you're acting suspicious. No, I'm acting like I want to live. When they always tell me that you act like you're nervous, and I act like I want to live, bro. Because I keep my hands on the steering wheel, you know. You're gonna shoot me if I make a sudden move or make a sudden. They told a guy in North Carolina to get his wallet out the car and shot him in his back. This is how they live. So it's not a surprise that these people are that way. It's a lot of police officers that are racist. Hell, the guy in the police union in Chicago is racist. He's racist as hell.
All right. Well, you said basically the police was – never mind. All right, Vanessa, go ahead. What's your thoughts on this?
Don't have any. All of them need to be in jail. All of them need to be in prison from the 15 years to the 18 years. I don't have any thoughts on that. I am so sick of all of them. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, but it should scare the hell out of you because these are people walking around with guns. And these are people that have the ability to pull you over. And if you're not smart enough to have your cell phone recording, if you're not smart enough to stop at a lighted place. Remember the story we did, about a year and a half ago? A lieutenant in the Army stops at a lit gas station, and they pull him out and mace him and do all these different things. That's the thing that makes this scary. That's
Jay,
what makes it scary.
But, Jay, think about,
yes.
Okay, so we know that those people did that on the 6th. We know that we had those kind of people out there. But, Jay, think about all the KKK people that are our bosses that we go to church with, that we know from work and we
you go to
like
church with. I go to a black church.
No, I go to a black church with a few mixed people. That's, I'm not speaking of my life, your life, or Leslie's life.
You generalize,
I'm speaking of people
in
general. In general,
yes.
You don't know who these people are because they're like KKK. They're just people walking around in suits and clothes, but they're actually KKK. So it just so happened that the people on the six took the hood off. I mean, so that's where we're at with this, Jay.
They never put
and
it on.
Let's not, Jay, but let's not even talk about the police officers and the military people that's crazy and out there doing this. Think about the children and the people that are insane that's 18 years old and can legally go buy an assault rifle. That should scare you more. That scares me more than a crooked police officer. And you know why? Because with a crooked police officer, at least I can pull over in the light. At least I can just keep my mouth closed and get the ticket or whatever it is.
No, it doesn't scare me more. No. Mm-hmm.
Well,
because if a police officer flashes his or her lights, I have to pull over. They can stop me at random.
They wouldn't. I said we would pull over in a lit area. I didn't say not to pull over.
Doesn't matter.
That's not what I was taught.
No, okay. I understand what you're saying. Well, what I'm saying is that when people have authority and they have the ability to
do
this, and this is something that we need to think about.
I'm
listen
more
to this for a second.
The young people who can go and get one and go walk into a job or place and just shoot up people. You don't actually see police officers that are ignorant like they're doing it. You don't see that. You just
But to me, that's a part of, and I guess people are going to say I'm contradicting myself. I think that's just a part of life. There are neighborhoods you don't go into. That's just a part of living. But when you have someone who has authority, that's why when your child goes out and gets killed, when you hear about a child,
the big picture is they all have authority. Your boss. For your 50 years or 80 years, 40 years of your life.
18-year-old white kid don't have authority over me.
Jay.
What?
And they're crazy because they have nothing to lose.
My point is, listen, everything you're saying, I agree with you. Here's where you and I differ. You said you're more afraid of an 18-year-old with an AR-style weapon and go somewhere and shoot up a place. I'm with you on that. I'm scared of police because police have the authority to pull me over. If an 18-year-old pulls up beside me and tells me to pull my vehicle over, I don't have to pull over if you do. But a police officer has authority. So this is the person you're supposed to be safe. That's why when a child gets – when you hear about children dying, it hurts you as a parent. But it's even worse when you find out if the parent was involved in it because the parent is the person that's supposed to protect you. What?
Jay, we've had this conversation before. Where I live next to a white area, and my license plate said 6ZV, and they would pull me over just to ask me what my license plate was. It was like one of those areas. It was just Sauna City. It's still like that, right next to the neighborhood I grew up in. It's like Pasadena. It's like certain parts of Bel Air.
Right.
They're still like that, Jay. It has not changed. When I was a kid, my sister's boyfriend got pulled over, and they stuck a water hose up his butt,
Okay.
And was doing all kind of awful stuff. But my point is, this goes back 40 years of them doing it, Jay. I've always been somewhere in that circle of knowing how these people are. I don't know if it's because I was in a more prominent black neighborhood when I grew up, and then the one that was right next to it was an all-racist white neighborhood, and they didn't like us because our parents had decent money. I don't know, Jay, but some of this stuff happened around the time I was a kid. It's just coming back into play again. So I don't know. You didn't grow up in Houston or in Texas, so I don't know how it was in Chi-Town. But what you're talking about right now? Oh, please, we went through that when I was a kid. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed.
Okay.
Our bosses were KKK. They didn't. Now they just take the freaking hood off. That's the difference.
Okay, but
they show themselves now.
I think you're proving my point.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of them, Jay. I am not afraid of them.
You're not afraid of them.
Okay,
I am not afraid of military police people acting up and doing that kind of stuff with me or my daughter versus her being out at Herman Park and a kid walking up there and having a shootout in the park because somebody pissed him off. I'm more afraid of that, Jay.
Okay. Well,
that's
listen,
what,
that's
fair. That's
what
fair Bobby
enough.
And I sit at the table and pray and say, bless our family, our friends, keep our children safe. I'm not. We're not speaking of safe from the police or safe from somebody with authority. We're saying keep our children safe from all of these people who can walk in and go get a gun and ain't got to be checked.
Right.
That's who I'm afraid of.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. I'll give you that.
And Bobby
said,
don't you blow that horn, Vanessa. I've been wanting to blow the horn on somebody, but I said, don't you blow that horn, Vanessa. You know why? Because somebody could get out the car and shoot me in the head. Because anybody can carry a gun, and that's who I'm afraid of, that anybody.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Elias, let me turn to you. And, you have been a victim of police, using their authority to be overstepping their authority. So I guess the question to you, I mean, are you fearful? I'm more fearful, damn, say that fast.
Fearful.
Of, that word. I'm more that word of police officers than I am of a person running up with an AR, because, and I'll just say this, you never know where it could happen, because the people that went to Tops in Tops grocery store in Buffalo didn't expect someone to show up to do that. I don't think I run in those areas where that could possibly happen, even though it could happen anywhere. Now, I say that the next week I'll be having a memorial show because Jay Riley got shot up somewhere. But I normally don't run in those spaces where the probability of something like that happening. Let me stop, man, because now I'm getting nervous for real. Because like Jay was, oh my God, we're gonna come on air. Jay was caught at Walmart, so I went up there with Berserko. But I guess if you look at it from the average standpoint, I'm more. My chances of having an encounter with a police officer are greater than me running into a white supremacist somewhere. I guess I should say, but. I don't know, Ms. Elias. Give me your thought on this, because I think I put something out there that I don't want to put out there.
Your encounter is more than mine. A big black man driving a motorcycle.
Oh, let me tell you something. No, it's not. Your encounter, you hang around. Please, trust me. You are in where you are. Stop. But go ahead, Ms. Elias.
I would employ everybody to download an app called Turn Signal, right? Now, what Turn Signal does, what it does is when you hit this app and open it up, it automatically opens up your cell phone and starts recording, and it also puts you in contact with a lawyer. This app is free. And then
say this again. What happens now?
When you hit this app, it opens up the app and it starts recording right immediately. You get stopped by the police, and they point your phone towards the encounter, and then it automatically dials a lawyer. And this app is free. The lawyers do it for free. So they put you in contact with a lawyer at that point in time. You tell them where you're at, what state you're in. They look up the laws and tell you what you can and cannot do at that point in time. It's called Turn.
Oh, wow.
So you guys need to download that, you know.
Wow. Mr. Elias bringing some useful information to the show. Okay, so called Turn Signal. Download the app. And you said it gets you in contact with the Pope, with the attorneys.
Right.
They can tell you your rights.
It'll tell you your rights. And this is a free app, and you don't have to pay for it. And these lawyers do this for pro bono because they're signaling what's happening to the people out on the streets. So it automatically starts recording right then and there. So it records the whole encounter while you're right there. And it's simple to download. So get that.
Wow. I tell you what, boy, I bet you
you know, Momo B's ex-boyfriends, which they had that album when she was coming after them with a knife and fork. All right, 347-850-1272. We're going to step out and take a break. Keep it right here. It's 24 minutes after the hour for those who may not know what I'm talking about. Go back and listen to some J. Rob shows. Our girl, well, that Joker there was rough. All right, we'll be right back after this.
Today, nearly 1 in 5 Americans are living with a mental health condition. From our children and grandparents to our veterans, coworkers, and neighbors. For all of us, our mental well-being is just as important as our physical health. But unfortunately, most of us don't know how to recognize the signs that someone is in emotional distress, and so many of those who are having difficulty can't get the help they need. And together, we can change this. We can start by visiting changedirection.org and learning the 5 signs that may mean someone is struggling and needs help. And then it's up to us to show compassion, to reach out, connect, help folks find the hope and the support they need. Together, we can change the story about mental health in America. Together, we can change direction.
You know, every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice. Easy. There's just one thing. You see, we never, ever do nothing.
Working for the man.
Nice.
Every night and
easy.
Day.
We always
well,
do it.
I never lost
nice.
1 minute
rough.
And now
we're going to take the beginning of this song. And do it
big
easy. But then we're
going to
do the finish.
Turning.
Rough.
Proud Mary.
The way we
keep
do.
On burning.
Proud Mary. And we're rolling.
Rolling, rolling, yeah. Rolling, rolling.
online radio at its best.
Welcome back in 347-850-1272. It is the Serious Side on a beautiful Sunday. Be a part of it. Once again, pick up the phone line and call us. Of course, it's a beautiful day here in the state of Texas. And tribute to the queen of rock and roll who just passed away. It's Tina Turner at the age of 23. It's time to say good morning to the folks. And if you've been listening to the show, you know what time it is. Let's say good morning to our peeps. Let's say good morning to Vanessa Mayfield in front of the back of the family. Good morning, Vanessa. How are you and all the things you're doing? I promise you she's here. Good morning, Vanessa. Good morning to you as well. Jackie has graced us with her presence this morning. Miss Jackie, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. How's everyone doing?
Listen to her. She sounds like a school teacher. How's everyone doing? We're doing fine, Miss Jackie. We're fine. The man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the one and only Mr. L to the E to the S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to you, and good morning, Nessa, good morning, Miss Sister, good morning, Kathleen, good morning, Real Gideon, good morning, Marianna Music, and Marianna Music, that first song was by Tina Turner, of course, it's called What's Love Got to Do With It, and the next one was called Proud Mary by Tina, Ike and Tina Turner, and good morning, my brother Hulk, and good morning, my brother Jerome.
Mr. Elias, man, can we say hello to the people in the chat room, if you don't mind?
By all means, my brother Combina, man, is in there with us.
Ah, Combina, what's up, brother? Good to see you, as always. Want to say what's happening to the peeps out there. Once again, sounds like a broken record, but I have not fixed that app. my apologies. Hello, everybody out there. I promise you that this is tough. I didn't realize. This is an app that I put together a long time ago. And trying to reconnect some of those relationships, but I'm working on it, I promise you. And at some point, we'll say hello. But, hey, listen, you can call in 347-850-1272 if you want to be a bomb. Do your thing. All right. I announced earlier in the show, TBC, to be continued. Just a new segment. We're not going to do it every week, but every now and then, we need to say, let's talk about or let's bring up something that might not talk about. One thing I want to tell you is that you're
Now, your mic is horrible. What did you say?
Did you watch a game last night?
Oh, yeah, I watched it. Yes, most definitely. Yes, I did. Yeah. I thought
that
the Heat were going to win that game, but Boston pulled it out in the end.
No, I never thought that. We were doing some backyard shenanigans with cigars and cognac, and when Butler hit those three free throws, I was the only one. I said Boston's going to win this game. You crazy? I'm telling you, dude. There's too much time left. And when the dude tipped the ball in, I was like, wow, there it is. So game seven tomorrow night, if you are a basketball fan, you want to definitely tune into that. One of the things that Vanessa brought up during one of our earlier segments, she talked about, we were talking about this lady that gave birth to a 13-year-old's baby. And we talked about how maybe she was trying to trap this 13-year-old. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but I guess I get her bigger point. But she said something about having an abortion. And so the big thing about this is when you're talking about having abortions, that's one of the main reasons why this is such a hot topic, because at the end of the day, we have what they call abortion deserts down here, down south. People don't have money to go to other states and have abortions. And then think about it. So not only does that state, and then those states that are still remaining that performs abortions, they're overburdened because not only do they have to facilitate, the women in their state, but now you have all these out-of-towners coming in. So it's not a simple process. And I'm not saying that that's what's happening with this young lady, but the bigger point is to realize why overturning Roe v. Wade was such a huge thing, because you have situations like this. Mr. Elias. All these men, men making decisions that only a woman and her doctor should be making.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, Jay, we're talking about the mother that could, you know, die potentially die from her, you know, given childbirth. Or what about the 10-year, in the state of Indiana right now, they got a doctor that performed an abortion on a 10-year-old girl, and they're trying to revoke this doctor's license for performing this abortion. How can you sit there and do this crap? And they said, well, she didn't report it. Oh, but she did. There's all kind of stuff that said she reported the what she was doing, and she recorded it, and she recorded it as abuse. And it was a 10-year-old girl that got pregnant. And because of that, they're trying to strip this doctor's license from her. This is how serious this stuff is getting, folks. It's horrible. This is horrible. They're not really going after the guy with the abuse of the 10-year-old girl. They're going after a doctor who performed this abortion from a 10-year-old girl. You really going to do that? It's not even a question.
Yeah, I never thought that Roe v. Wade would ever be overturned. I am still in shock behind that, to be honest with you. I'm shocked by that, and I can't believe that. I mean, so many black president, every one of those Supreme Court justices that Trump nominated lied during the confirmation, saying that
of
they wouldn't do anything. They would leave it. It's precedent. We're not going to mess with that. And as soon as they got the opportunity, man, they jumped in there and did what they had to do. You know, when you think about it, big picture, though, I mean, we tell our kids not to lie. We tell our kids to be honest citizens. We do these things, but my goodness, man, look at how the adults are handling their business. There's no way that the Republicans who are cheating, I mean, think about this for a second. They are gerrymandering districts so they can remain in power.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing this, and they're trying to, or what's happening here in Texas. Which now, if a polling place runs out of paper, the governor can come in and say who won the election.
Uh-huh.
I mean, good God, man. And so human nature, what is up? I mean, the oldest form of making selections for positions of authority is voting. As early when you were in elementary school, you voted for a class president. How did they determine the winner, Mr. Elias? Who got the most votes? They won.
Right.
And yet still, they put all these things in place because they understand that America is getting browner and that they will not remain in power if every citizen raised their hand and said, hey, I vote for this person. So we have to keep this nonsense in place, trying to give the rural people a bigger, trying to make sure their voices are heard. That's the purpose of this thing. But guess what? These people have more power than some of the most highly populated cities in some of these states. So how can
they
a few hundred thousand is bigger than this is crazy, man. This is nuts.
It is. And they don't care. They got to keep on going with it. You know, that what happened in Carolina. That's what got me. This woman ran under the Democratic ticket, and then as soon as she got the chance, I think I want to be Republican. She left the Democrats, and now you get them a super.
Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. She, somewhere along the line, she changed her mind. It wasn't as soon as she got the chance, because remember, they played a clip of her, and we're talking about the abortion law that was passed in North Carolina. The veto, because the governor vetoed it, and then they came back and said, forget that. You know what? We're gonna filibuster it, and we're going to go ahead. There's another situation. So the governor, who is the chief executive of the state, his veto get overran by the supermajority, and the only reason they got supermajority because the Democrats switched. Check it out. Now, that video clips, because out of all the people who switched, one would never think it would because she talked about passionately how her having the decision to make, her having the ability to make a decision of her. And then I guarantee you, if you dig into the numbers are saying ego, instead of doing what's your
man, your phone is horrible, brother.
Well, thank you, Miss.
I can't.
Lately,
you're
going
in and out.
Going on.
You're going in and out.
Now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Okay, I'm going to stand by the window with some aluminum foil on top of it, and let's see if that makes it better.
It's much better now. But like I said, what I was saying, Jay, is that okay?
Yes.
That's what made me believe that she was this was her game all along. She ran on the ticket that she wouldn't get rid of abortion, that she would run on she wouldn't vote against abortions. And as soon as she got the chance, she was like, the Democrats are doing stuff like nobody else, and they lost their way. The Democrats have lost their way? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, once again, it kind of goes back to, see, I think she was a Democrat for a long time. But let me go back and say, I didn't know she re-ran. But here's the other part of it. Once again, she gave a compassionate speech about that, very thing,
mm-hmm.
about having the ability to make decisions on her own. Then she comes back, and then she,
mm-hmm.
you know, reverses her stance. But it goes back to what I was saying as far as these people don't care about their constituents. They're trying to do what's in the best interest of them. They'll do anything to keep their jobs, even if it's
yeah.
going to hurt other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't understand. Think about think about George Santos. This guy, you know, think about Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's representing her constituents. Now, here's how dumb her constituents are. Miss Kevin McCartney, weak ass, is the Speaker of the House. But she's not on any major, all that. So really, her constituents will be having, she's running around. Here's what I don't get. You put people in Congress to do what's in the best interest for you. If they have no committee assignments or seats or anything, they're not doing anything for you.
That's true. But the bottom line is, a lot, like you said before, the ill-informed voters don't pay attention. They do not pay attention. Because there's nowhere in the world I'd put a nut job like that back in office. None. I would have never put it in office in the first place. She's a nut job.
But it's all about popularity, man. That's how Donald Trump became president in the first place. It's about popularity. It's the name that they know. Because if people were really, if you were really truly interested in people doing what's in the best interest for you, then some of these people wouldn't be in office. Now, I'll go back to something you always say. And ladies, y'all can jump in. We're just having a conversation, so just jump in anytime you want. You always tell people to vote. You know, it's pocketbook issues. And so that's why sometimes I'm a little hesitant to say, you know, people that are Republicans, are they have conservative views. So they're voting for their conservative views. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say all Republicans are racist. I know a lot of Republicans who are some of the nicest people on the face of the planet. Matter of fact, I'll tell you a story here real quick. I had to appear in front of my HOA, right? So because they're trying to get me on some nonsense. And so I've been a rebel for a very long time until they finally said, we've had enough of you. We're suing you. I'm like, uh-oh. So once they sued me. And so I had to end up going to, face the HOA. And so now I'm standing at the HOA. I'm pleading my case. And at the end of the case, meeting, you know, they approved my case. They decided to let me get away with whatever. And so I was shaking their hands. And so it was this one guy that was there.
And he was a veteran, too. And he says, oh, no. I said, sir, I appreciate you. Thank you. And he said, no. He said, no. He said, you got to give me a hug. And he said, I'm your neighbor. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I live at, and he gave me the address. And this guy's house is around the corner from mine. This dude has all type of, Republican stuff. And he was the nicest guy, but he was a Trump supporter. He wanted to give me a hug. I'm like, oh, damn. I didn't realize it was that dude. So, I mean, and maybe people are voting for their pocketbooks. I have no idea. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, why are you laughing, Miss Elias?
I'll tell you later, man. Wow.
Well, I'm pretty sure it has something to do with somebody trying to call in, and you probably, do what you always do, pull them to the side and then just let them have it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That brings some joy, listeners. So, you know, if you want this guy to be sad, don't call in, because he's going to monitor the phone call, and then he's going to cuss you out off the air. He's going to talk about your mama. He's going to do all that stuff. And then he's going to come back giggling like he's giggling now. So if you're trying to get to Miss Elias, that's not the way to do it. Hey, look, he's having a great time.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, I think it's time to step out and take a break, don't you? All right, let's get an NPR news update, and then after that, we'll state your case, and we'll close it out. 347-850-1272. We'll be right back after this.
It may be status quo, at least for now, for Arizona produce farmers who have been bracing for major cuts to their Colorado River water amid an historic drought. NPR's Kirk Sigler reports produce farmers across the Southwest are praising a recent water conservation deal.
The U.S. government announced that California, Nevada, and Arizona have struck a deal to keep some 3 million acre-feet of water in the shrinking Colorado River. The government will pay some farmers to not grow crops in certain areas, but generally the industry is relieved to learn that there won't be a unilateral, across-the-board cut to their irrigation water. Megan Scott represents farmers in Yuma, Arizona, where much of the nation's winter leafy greens are grown.
Definitely a sense of relief, but also sort of waiting to see how things start to pan out as we work through the details of that plan.
Scott says the deal gives the states time to negotiate a longer-term plan for reducing water usage. Kirk Sigler, NPR News, Phoenix.
Texas Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton is awaiting trial in the state Senate after the GOP-controlled Texas House voted overwhelmingly to impeach him this weekend, suspending him from office. The state House approved 20 articles of impeachment against Paxton, including abuse of office and bribery. Former Wyoming Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney is set to deliver the commencement address at her alma mater today. She's speaking at Colorado College in Colorado Springs this morning amid speculation that she may enter the race for the Republican presidential nomination. I'm Joyle Snyder, NPR News.
This message comes from NPR sponsor McCormick & Company, committed to enhancing people's health, their communities, and the planet. McCormick, healthy, sustainable, delicious. For more, visit McCormickCorporation.com/future of flavor.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.
The Pentagon says there are no signs that Moscow is planning to use its nuclear weapons and that there is no reason to adjust the U.S. nuclear posture. The Defense Department issued a statement after Russian President Vladimir Putin announced plans to station tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus. He claims the move is a response to Britain's decision to provide Ukraine with armor-piercing rounds containing depleted uranium. The deployment would be the first time since the mid-1990s that Russia has stationed nuclear arms beyond its borders. The beloved Mexican children's comedian Javier Lopez, better known as Chabelo, has died. He was 88 years old. NPR's Chloe Veltman reports he was an enduring presence on TV throughout Latin America.
Over a career spanning more than six decades, Chabelo made dozens of movies and musical albums, but he is most famous for his weekly TV show En Familia con Chabelo. Dressed in children's jeans, rompers, and speaking in his signature squeaky voice, Tabello hosted the family-friendly show every Sunday morning for 47 years. Here he is in 1994 explaining the rules of one of the show's many contests to four little kids as their moms look on. The performer made it into the Guinness Book of Records for the unprecedented longevity of his on-screen character. Chloe Veltman, NPR News.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has been released from a rehabilitation facility. He'd been receiving physical therapy there following a fall earlier this month. He says he'll be working from home for the next few days. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
It's Guy Raz here. On the Wisdom from the Top podcast, I talk to leadership experts and some of the world's greatest business leaders about how they lead, innovate, and transform the people around them. If you're trying to make it in business or just want to think more like a leader, this show's probably for you. Listen now to the Wisdom from the Top podcast from Luminary and NPR.
All right, folks, welcome back in. It is time for Pastor Steve State Your Case, where we read comments from the world-famous chat room right now. That's the only place we're getting comments. So, Miss Elias, man, what do we have, man, from the world-famous chat room on State Your Case?
We got our brother Covina, man. He says Biden's too old, period. People are not voting Kamala Harris, or probably vote GOP because of her. I'm hoping that Trump goes to jail and Biden drops out and allow a more healthy Democrat to run, not Matt Carmelo, and not Pete Buttigieg either.
Okay. Anything else from the infamous Covina man?
That's it. That's all we put in there.
Oh, my goodness. So he says Biden is too old. He wants him to drop out. You know, Covina man, just out of curiosity, man, and maybe you can answer this one next week. You know, who are you going to step up? Now, I tell you who I'm impressed with. That that governor out of Maryland, now he could, you know, now I think Jerome don't like that guy. But I think that guy could be some, you know, I'm seeing some Obama-isms going on there. But, I mean, I'm just, who do you guys want to run? Because Kamala Harris is not going to win. So
no,
just
not.
Scratch that. She's not going to win. So who do you want to run? Who do you want to see? Who? There's no one out there. I mean, well, listen, I like the governor out of California, too.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, so maybe. But outside of him, who else? I don't see anyone on the horizon that's young and articulate enough to make that happen. Not on the left. So we'll see. But yeah, Biden is he's old.
Get it.
Oh well, see, that's a California. Well, see Jackie.
Not a Gavin Newsom fan. Sorry, I hope he don't get it.
All right, then wow. There you go. Well, then if he's not the guy, then who, Jackie? Who do you want to see?
I don't know.
Oh, there you go. Well, that's
well,
I don't want him to get it.
Just not him.
I don't know.
Just not him. That's
okay.
I pray that the GOP just fall off the face of the earth. How about that? I don't want none of them.
Well, good luck with that.
I don't want none of them circles running. None of them. None of them Trumpites. I want
everything one. You're asking for. Well, everything you're asking for is not happening at this point. So God has a plan. Let God handle his business, and you just be his, you know, disciple and do what you need to do. How about that? And on that note.
Online radio at its best.
Folks, it is time for our final thoughts. And, you know, our big sis goes first. Miss Vanessa Mae Belly from the McAnally Final Thoughts.
Well, let me first start out by saying I'm sorry that I've been in and out, busy morning down here. But I don't know who could run other than Biden.
It's kind of too late now, right?
I just don't want it to be Biden.
Yeah, well, then who? Who?
Oh, I don't know. And so the next thing is, Mike Pence is just a quiet Trump. He's a little bit more discreet, but he's just like
he's
Trump.
He's more dangerous than him.
Okay.
He's more dangerous.
And, yeah, he is, because he's more educated and polished and can get away with it. And DeSantos is just a nut, just uneducated, ignorant, having as many children as he can, nut. So he got married at Disney. Now Disney's going to cut 2,000 jobs because of him. He's so stupid. So you know what? I say this all the time. Just pray for this country. This country is not heading in a good direction. And I am personally blaming all the youngsters who do not get out and vote. But you know what? This is going to be their mess to live with. So I will not be tripping and posting signs. And I just won't be posting signs and doing all of that. This is their fault. In Harris County, anyway. In Texas, anyway.
Well,
this is their fault.
But see, Vanessa, I don't think I agree with that. Let me tell you why I don't agree with it. Because they got things gerrymandered. Because once again, every Democratic president, you know, President Obama and President Biden won all the major municipalities in Texas.
Jay, this is before Biden. All I'm saying is none of these white people started acting crazy and doing crazy stuff against black people until Trump brought them all out. We know that's true.
But wait,
Abbott has been in office for 99,000 years in Texas. He has never done the kind of stuff that he's doing now against black people. And he's doing it because the Trump people. So you know what? If the children had gotten out and not voted and voted against Trump and put Hillary in now, then we wouldn't have had this mess in the first place. But my daughter and her friends didn't go and vote. They did not go and vote because they didn't like Hillary. I don't like Hillary, so I'm not going to go vote at all. Okay, so now we
but it wouldn't matter
so
if they voted or not. But Vanessa, they have changed it so it doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
Okay.
And, you know, I hate to say that out loud.
It doesn't, and
because
it's not
my, you know, my cousin says that my vote doesn't count. Well, but you know what? But if a million people thought that, then that's a million votes that's not being counted. But because it's gerrymandered, it, you know, a lot of people, what they're saying to a certain degree is true.
But
they
wasn't doing that stuff before Trump got in office. He just wasn't.
But I understand that, Vanessa. I understand that. But at the end of the day, if you win all the major municipalities in your state and you still lose, Houston is what, the fourth or the fifth largest city in the nation. You have Dallas. You have San Antonio. You have Austin. They won all of these cities, and they still lost the state.
Bobby stuck his head in the door, y'all, and said, Vanessa, you are scaring the white people.
Uh-oh, there you go. We don't want you to get in trouble. All right, thank you. All right, we have 90 seconds left. Jackie, give us your final thoughts.
Well, I was glad to be here with y'all today. Definitely shout out again to Tina Turner. Just blessings and prayers for her family. And as they're going through their time of bereavement, and what can I say? I'm in agreement with Vanessa that things are just not looking all that great in America. I'm gonna do the Josephine Baker myself and head to Paris. And with that said,
okay,
bye bye. With that said,
all right. Yes, Jackie.
Take care.
All right, thank you. Bye. All right, Ms. Elias, man, 30 seconds left, man.
Look, get out and vote, folks. If you don't go out and vote, you don't have a voice. And if enough of us get out and vote, we can change the way that things get. And you need to educate your votes and make sure your voters know what they're voting for.
Yes, good stuff. And because of Vanessa and Jackie's big mouth, I have no comments. So, Ms. Elias, it's Sunday, and we're talking serious stuff. What time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the chase.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure serving you folks. Bye. Get out of here. So for Ms. Elias, for Jackie, I'm Jay Ryle, man. Have a wonderful work week. And remember, if it is Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, it is the serious side of the Jay Ryle Show. God bless everybody. See you next week.